In Romans chapter 1, I want to look tonight a couple of verses of Scripture, beginning in verse 17. I like verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Brother Steve was talking about the gospel going into the living rooms, and that's so true, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein, this is where we'll be tonight, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Let's pray just a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the service thus far. I pray, God, that you would help us to look up and realize, our Father, tonight that our redemption is drawing nigh. Could be, our Father, that someone's in our midst tonight that's not ready for the coming of the Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to that heart. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Help us, our Father, Lord, to encourage our precious people, encourage our families. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us in these days to do the will of God till you come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Paul's theme is the gospel. And then in verse number 17, he said, for therein, he's talking about the gospel. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. There's two things in these two verses that are revealed, and I'd like to concentrate on them tonight. The first one is the righteousness of God, and the second one is the wrath of God. Now, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but the Spirit of God just spoke to my heart. When you say the gospel, what would the gospel have to do with the wrath of God? That's really what happened at Calvary. The Bible said he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. And the Word of God said that he was smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. Amen? And so really what you're looking at Calvary is what God thinks about sin. The wrath of God being poured out on his Son. You say, Pastor, do you really believe that? Yes, I do. I don't believe anybody ever suffered like Jesus. And he suffered so you and I wouldn't have to suffer. So I'll get into that later. But I just thought I'd say that while it was on my heart. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You say, Pastor, what happens when the righteousness of God is revealed to an individual? Well, there's several things that happen, but I believe one of the first things that happens is sin becomes exceeding sinful. No longer when God, you stand God's righteousness up alongside of your righteousness or my righteousness, all of a sudden our righteousness falls way short. Anybody can think they're doing pretty good until they get alongside of the righteousness of God. And then when that happens, the Word of God said, was it then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. So there was a night when I went to church, and I thought I was doing pretty good. The people thought a lot of me. My family thought a lot of me, but my Lord come to where I was that night. And the righteousness of God was revealed to a sinner man. All of a sudden, I wasn't good anymore. Matter of fact, I was awful. Sin became exceeding sinful. I realized I was in a pit. I realized I couldn't get out. And I realized my only hope of heaven was Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. So the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. In verse number 26 of chapter 3, he said, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness,
I'll tell you what goes on in a social gospel. They get up and brag on themselves. But when the gospel of Christ is being preached, beloved, we're not boasting in ourselves or our goodness or our deeds. We're boasting in the cross. Boasting in the resurrection. Boasting in the resurrection and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. He said, declare at this time, I say, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The word of God said over in the book of Habakkuk, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The word of God has always honored faith. Brother Steve, when he put the lessons up there, one of them's on Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. People that don't understand the gospel would think, and some of them will even say, that it's presumptuous of you and I to be able or to stand, Brother Steve, and say, I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. They would say that is presumptuous for you to say that. Oh, listen, my presumption is upon His righteousness, not on mine. I'm not going because I'm somebody. I'm going because He's my Savior. Amen? And that's what makes the difference, the life of faith. In Galatians 3, the Bible said, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Another time in Hebrews 13, or 10:37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I believe with all of my heart tonight, the Apostle Paul is saying the gospel will reveal something. It'll reveal the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart tonight, when sin becomes exceeding sinful, that no longer are we saying, well, I just lied a little bit, or I just lusted a little bit. Whenever sin becomes exceeding sinful, the Spirit of the living God throws the book at us and pronounces us guilty. Not just guilty of one, of breaking one of God's laws, but thereby breaking all of God's laws. I believe it's important tonight to understand that the gospel reveals. Well, let me ask you something tonight. If it's the gospel that reveals the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God, what should we be giving out? We should be giving out the gospel. Amen? The gospel. I heard, I think, Brother Ike, you said to someone on the parking lot, I don't know who you were talking to, I just heard your voice. I had just turned on my hearing aids. And I heard Brother Ike say something like this. You correct me if I'm wrong, Brother. I think you said, y'all takes care of everybody. Or something like that. Gets everybody. Did you say something like that out there a while ago? Well, you know the thought that comes to my mind. Y'all think I'm crazy. But when I heard him say that, I thought, for God loved y'all. That takes care of everybody. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I know tonight that God loves the world. And I know that he is the light of the world. But I also know tonight that there was a time in my life when it became personal. When I really couldn't hardly believe, Brother Rose, that he loved me and that he would forgive me and that he would help me. And the Word of God is talking about that gospel that reveals the righteousness of God. Listen to me in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Paul is writing to the church. He said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This is what Paul said to the church. He said, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? How many knows the answer to that question? Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We heard the gospel. The righteousness of God was revealed. We realized that our righteousness was as filthy rags and wasn't going to get the job done. And now by faith we received the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he said. He said, this only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Then he said this, are you so foolish? See, there were people in the church trying to drag the church back under the Mosaic law. Listen, beloved, listen, we're not saved by the law. The law is there to get us good and guilty so we can get good and saved. The law is there to pronounce us guilty before God, that we might see our need, not of our own righteousness, or our daddy's righteousness, or our mama's righteousness, or the Baptist's righteousness, but of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the law does. Then he said this. He said, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? I think one of the biggest mistakes, and sometimes, beloved, listen, it's not intentional. Sometimes it's the preaching that people hear and the teaching that people hear. They will come in an altar with nothing and bow down knowing that they're guilty and that they're lost and they're a sinner and they'll receive Christ as their Savior. And then they'll get up and go try to live the rest of their life in the flesh. Am I right or am I wrong? Listen, you get saved trusting, not trying. And the victorious Christian life is not a life of trying. It's a life of trusting. We started in faith. We're to walk by faith. We're to finish in faith. That's why Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. For without it, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The gospel is so important because when it's given out, the righteousness of God is revealed. Brother John, you and I have over and over and over heard people say, he's a good old boy. He's a good old boy. He's a good old boy. I'll tell you one thing right now, if the gospel ever hits a good old boy's heart, and I know what that means, amen, and there's nothing wrong with using that, but as far as in God's kingdom, there's no good old boys. There's a bunch of bad old boys that need to be saved by the grace of God. There's a bunch of bad old girls that need to be saved by the grace of God, and it's the gospel that points out our sin and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Sin becomes exceeding sinful. So the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. We can't go to heaven without it. There at the marriage supper, I'm going to have on a white robe. The Word of God says it's the righteousness of the saints. Does anybody know where we got it? We didn't get it from each other. We didn't get it from the church. We didn't get it from the baptistry. We didn't get it from good works. We got it from faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And no wonder the 24 elders, you don't find them bowing down to each other. You don't find them worshiping each other. But you find them laying their crowns at the feet of Jesus. You find them singing a new song. Thou art worthy, for who has redeemed us to God by your own precious blood. So they knew where their righteousness come from. It come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does the gospel reveal the righteousness of God. But in the next verse of Scripture, the Bible said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. I learned something when I studied, and I think we should learn something every time we study. But if you would have asked me before I studied, what's the difference between unrighteousness and ungodliness? I don't know, and I won't be dogmatic, but I learned this as I studied. I don't know that I would have said there is a difference, unrighteousness, ungodliness. But I read this, and I think there's something to it. Ungodliness is chiefly that sin against God. Ungodliness, not like God, a sin against God. The first sin in the Garden of Eden would be a picture of that, when they sinned against God, when they took of the tree. See, Adam didn't sin against Eve, and Eve didn't sin against Adam. You look at that, and that sin is against God. But what about the next sin? Cain kills Abel. The sin against God caused the separation between God and man. But the sin against man also caused the separation. I think there's something to think about right there. In other words, God is not... Why did the Word of God say that the first commandment is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your body, all your soul, right? And the second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So I believe that God is very much concerned about you and I and our lives, the way we live this way. But I believe God is also concerned about our lives and the way we live this way. The way we treat each other, the way we speak to each other, the way we interact with each other. And so, ungodliness is chiefly that sin against God, but unrighteousness, chiefly that sin against man. I won't be dogmatic about that, but you remember Cain was banished. The Word of God said, Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face I shall be hid. I shall be as a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. It shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And you remember, God put a mark on Cain so that he wouldn't be slain. You have to wonder, don't you? Out there, a vagabond, separated now from the family and man. You have to wonder if Cain ever regretted. And y'all understand that the reason he did what he did was concerning the righteousness of God. His brother brought the offering that was pleasing in the sight of God, the firstling of the flock. They had to have been taught. I don't read that in the Bible, but mom and dad had to have taught them. God slew the animals and made us coats of skin. And because God was willing to do that, we can talk to him again. We can't go back in the garden, but we can fellowship with our Creator because there was blood that was shed. They had to have been taught. I believe that with all of my heart. You say, preacher, the wrath of God is revealed. Well, when the righteousness of God shows up, it reveals, the gospel reveals that righteousness, and then the gospel reveals God's wrath. I don't know about you, but when God showed up that night, I knew I was in trouble. I said I knew I was in trouble. I wasn't in trouble with my daddy, and I wasn't in trouble with my mama. I was in trouble with the one that created me. And that trouble was bad trouble. I believe people are making a bad mistake when they try to preach a social gospel that leaves out the wrath of God. Try to preach a heaven and leave out the hell. Try to preach, beloved, mankind as progressing and getting better and better. What world are you living in? The love of many is waxed cold. The Word of God said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Listen to this now. Wherefore you do well that you take heed, as unto a light. There's a reason I'm reading this verse. That shineth in a dark place. He said, Pastor, why did you read that? Because I want to rejoice in that night that that light shined in that dark place. That's the only reason I got saved. A man's heart without Christ is a dark place. But when he comes, he lights the place up. The righteousness of God is revealed. But the wrath of God is revealed. The Bible said in John chapter number 1, that was the true light which lighteth every man which cometh into the world. I believe the Bible will teach later, just a few verses later, that this world is without excuse. They can say whatever they want to, but the Bible said this is the true light. Beloved, I don't believe the light of the gospel just comes and lights this one and don't light that one and lights this one and don't light that one. This is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The Word of God said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I don't know what time it was last night, but I looked, the moon was just coming up over the horizon. I don't know how many times I'm in my backyard and look up and say, God, there you are again, knocking another hole in the darkness. Thank God for the day he knocked that hole in the darkness in my heart. The righteousness of God revealed, the wrath of God. 1 John 2:8, a new commandment write unto you, that thing which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. What a blessed place to live. The darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Romans 13:12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let me give you one more thing tonight. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God. The gospel reveals the wrath of God. But I want to give you something tonight that I believe will be a blessing to you. I believe the gospel does something else. I believe it restores the image of God. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? How many believe that the Bible teaches that God created man in his own image? Well, let me ask you this. Does not sin have a way of destroying that image? When I watched the news this morning, and I think it was in the city of Chicago, I think it was, there's a man walking his daughter, 7 or 8 years old, across the crosswalk. And a car pulls up and a pistol comes out the window and shoots that man and kills him dead in broad daylight in the street. You tell me sin doesn't destroy the image of God? Well, you're looking at a pastor that believes the only hope of having that image restored in an individual's life is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this life, I want you to think about something. How could we be more like Jesus? In this life, right now, how could we be any more like Jesus than when we're trying to point another individual to him? Everywhere he went, Brother Ralph, he'd say, follow me. Follow me. Yeah. He knew he was going somewhere. He knew where he was going was a whole lot better, Brother Ike, than where they were. Follow me. Follow me. He told the disciples, I'll make you to become fishers of men. Peter decided there, after the denial, He's going to go back out there. I go fishing. Fished all night and didn't catch a thing. A professional. I like to get a little bit silly right there talking about that. I believe Jesus said to them fish, get over here, boys. Don't go nowhere near that boat. You say, Pastor, you don't believe? Oh, yes, he's the creator. He knew which fish had the coin in its mouth. He knew where the one was that was big enough to swallow Jonah. Amen. He had divine orders. I got a backslidden preacher that needs to be taught a lesson. Maybe he wallers around that seaweed long enough, he'll think twice about going down to Nineveh, where I told him to go. He fished. He didn't catch anything. Jesus said, children, have you any meat? He knew they didn't have any meat. Nah, I said, cast your net on the right side. How'd that happen? How many believes you know how that happened? Say amen. I know how to call a turkey. I know how to call a deer. I know how to call a dog. I'd rather not tell you, but I know how to call a cat. But I don't know how in the world you call the fish. But Jesus called them. They volunteered for the net. Was it 137, Brother Steve? Does that sound right? Does that sound right? Somebody nod your head at me. I mean, yes, no, or maybe so. It's more than that, 150. Okay, I don't know. You can read it after a while. It's over in the end of the book of John. Amen. There were so many, they couldn't draw the net, the Bible said. But yet, the net didn't break. But when Jesus got through with Peter, he'd done fixed them some fish and some bread. When he got through, he said, Peter, do you love me? Can I say that's a question that every one of us needs to answer tonight? Do you love him? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. Y'all aren't listening to me now. You're looking for that number. I shouldn't have done that. God, forgive me. At least I didn't hear anybody snoring. At least you're looking for a number. I told Chloe a while ago when I come in, she was yawning. I said, not yet, honey. I'm not preaching yet. Amen. The gospel. In this life, we'll never be more like Jesus. Brother John, I ain't had many, but I've had the privilege to point a few to Calvary. And a few, the righteousness of God was revealed. And they said yes to the Lamb of God. I believe in this life, that image is restored by the gospel. What about in the next life? Listen to what the Word of God said. The psalmist said in Psalm 17:15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. I just now thought of something. If there is a mirror in heaven, no one's going to look in the mirror and want a shot of Botox. No one's going to look in the mirror and want a pair of tweezers. Help me. My wife said the other day, look like a jungle coming out of the end of my nose. I know, y'all don't have them problems. That's why some of y'all wear mustaches. It just blends in. Amen. When we get to heaven, we're going to be like Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's good enough for me. The Word of God said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. And when he shall appear, we shall be like him. for we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. The Word of God talks in another place about him changing our vile body. Philippians 3:20. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. How many's looking for him? If you're looking for him, you're living for him. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I close with this tonight. Running just a few minutes late, but it's Steve's fault, it ain't mine. A.B. Simpson is reported to have said that the gospel tells rebellious men that God is reconciled, justice is satisfied, sin has been atoned for, that the judgment of the guilty may be revoked, the condemnation of the sinner canceled, the curse of the law blotted out, the gates of hell closed, the portals of heaven opened wide, the power of sin subdued, the guilty conscience healed, the broken heart comforted, the sorrow and misery of the fall undone. That's what the gospel will do. Amen. Let's leave here and give it out. Give it out. Give out the gospel. Tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. We were in Sister Karen's home a while ago, and she showed us her husband's books. They cover a whole wall, two walls actually. The gospel. There's nothing in this world you find any richer to study or to share with mankind than the gospel. How many fish was in the net? 153? Well, Miss Eve, I'll be like Chris in the backyard. Wait just a minute. I only missed it by 16. Is that right, honey? Okay. I said 137. I don't know where I got that. But I tried. You didn't. Just aggravating you. How many's glad you saved tonight? 153. Lord, help me to remember that the next time. Amen. I got to get Miss Eve to get some signs to put in her Bible. When I come across one of them questions, she can just hold it up. Everybody will think I'm real smart. Not you all. It had to be somebody else. Y'all already know better. Hey, what are you laughing at, Brother Mike? You laughing at me or with me? Okay. Amen. Amen. I love to hear Sawyer laugh. He's got a laugh like no other. Amen. You glad you come tonight? Do you know him? Has that light ever shined in that dark place? If it has, it changed your life, didn't it? And he ain't through changing us yet, Sister Jerry. But one day, that final change will come. We'll be with him. We'll be like him. We're going to have a ball. Say amen. It's going to be wonderful. Amen. I don't even think I'm going to have to stop and comb my hair. Amen. I'll be like a font. Hey. Amen. Let's stand together tonight.